All right. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, we'd like for you to turn with us to the book of Acts. We've been thinking about this for the last couple of days, what the Lord would have us to preach, and couldn't get settled on anything else but this. And so we want to look here in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. In verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto the church, unto them, about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily, with one accord, in the temple and in breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We want to preach tonight on the first great revival of the Lord's church. The first great revival of the Lord's church. I believe every Baptist church needs revival. I believe we stand in need of revival. And I believe if we want revival, I believe it would be wise for us tonight to go back to the first revival of the church. I believe we have the record of these members in revival here. The Lord blessed these members tremendously, as we see here in these verses here that we just read. And I believe the Lord has a pattern. I believe He has a pattern for everything that He wants us to do. He has a pattern for revival. And we're not going to have revival until we go back to that plan that the Lord has for us. He tells us exactly what needs to be done. Tells us what we have to do. Tells us what responsibility that we have in having revival. So we notice, first of all, the things preceding this revival. We also need to remember that this is not the beginning of the church. They had already been saved. They had already been baptized. They had already been commissioned. He commissioned them back in Matthew chapter 28 there, in the latter part of that chapter there in the book of Matthew. So the church was already in existence. And so we want to notice the condition of this church preceding this revival. We notice, first of all, that there was obedience. This church was in the upper room in obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was their head. They were obedient unto Him. So we see that this revival started in the upper room. And as they were in the upper room, they were agonizing. And so we see that this revival started in the upper room with the members agonizing. But we see today that it's ending in organization. People are trying to work up a revival. It's impossible to work up a revival. We'll never be able to work up a revival. If we have revival, it's going to take some agonizing. It's going to take each one of us gathering together and banding together and praying for revival, agonizing and pleading and begging the Lord to send us revival. How revived are you tonight? In your own heart, in your own soul. How revived are you? And so, we see here that they were in obedience to the command of God. So if we expect revival, we must be where God commanded us to be. We must be in His house, gathered together. You see here where they were, says they were, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. They were banding together. And that's what we do every Sunday night. We band together. The ladies band together downstairs in a room. The men band together. That's the reason we call it prayer band. And we band together and we pray. And that's what it's going to take if we're going to have revival. So they were in the house of God. They were obedient to the Lord. And they were banding together. And so, we're not going to be able to work that up. Our obligation is to the Lord and to His church. We need to put the Lord first. We need to put His church first. Now, if we expect revival, we must meet His requirements. And I believe that this is one of His requirements. That we gather together. That we gather together. That we band together. I believe lack of revival is our fault. It's not the Lord's fault. It's our fault. Because I believe with all of my heart that the Lord is willing to send us revival. He's willing to send us revival. But I believe that we must desire revival in our own hearts. How much have you been praying for the revival since we've announced that we're going to have revival? How many of you have been praying for Brother Garner Smith, as he comes our way, that the Lord would burn in his heart the messages that Olmsted Baptist Church needs, that each one of us needs? And we need to pray individually. We need to get ourselves right with the Lord. We need to be burdened in our own hearts for this revival meeting. So I believe another condition here we see is that they were separated. There was separation. They were gathered together, separated from the world that was around about them. And that's why we need to be. We need to be separated. We're living in a day today when God's people put just about everything else first before they do their church and before revival meetings. I believe it's our obligation as members of Olmsted Baptist Church to be in the house of God, gathered together. And so I believe that we need to be separated. We need to be sanctified. We need to be set apart for the service of God. Set apart. And when we're set apart, God is going to visit us. And I desire for the Lord to visit me. I desire for Him to visit me tonight. I desire for Him to visit me during this revival meeting. That the Lord would touch my heart. That He would give me exactly what I need. That He'd give this church exactly what we need to continue on and to be more faithful and dedicated to the service of the Lord. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what serving the Lord's all about? That we might be more faithful as the day of the Lord is approaching and the second coming of the Lord is not very far off. And I want to be found faithful. I want our church to be found faithful when the Lord returns. And so, we see a lot of churches today are more interested in gathering together and mixing and mingling with the world. Are we willing to turn from every sinful practice that's a displeasure to the Lord. And we all know our own hearts. We all know our spiritual condition before the Lord tonight. And so we see that this church was, they were some dedicated Baptists. And that's what we need today. We need some dedicated Baptists that's willing to set the world aside and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. And I believe that the world is rubbing off on God's people more today than ever. There's nothing sinful anymore. There's nothing sinful anymore. So if we think we can come to this revival meeting for a week and really separate ourselves for this week and expect a revival, it won't come. It won't come. This is what happens a lot during revival. We really mean business during the week of the meeting. And then we'll slip right back into the same condition, in the same shape that we were in before the meeting. But if our separation is for the Lord, it's going to last. If our separation is because that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to last. But we see here that this church was gathered together. We see that they were obedient. We see that they were separated. And we also see that they were unified. They were together. They were unified. They were with one accord. They were with one accord. Look at Acts chapter 1 here. In Acts chapter 1. And notice verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Now notice that. These all continued with one accord in prayer. They continued in unity. And with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. And so we see that they were in one accord. We must be pulling together, not pulling apart. But we must be pulling together. There must be a desire in the hearts of each of us to pull together. We dare not be selfish. We dare not think of self. We need to be thinking of others. We don't think of the harm a lot of times that we're doing. When we start gossiping and we start pulling apart and so on, we don't know the damage that we're doing. So we see that they were also unified. Are we unified? Are we pulling together? Or is some pulling this way and some pulling that way? We're not going to gain anything by doing that. But we see here they were together. We see that they were continuing also. They were continuing. They continued in prayer and supplication. They continued in prayer. When I was first saved, Brother V.A. Turner was our pastor. And every Saturday night, he would have a cottage prayer meeting at his house. Every Saturday night, we'd get together, and we'd band together, and we would pray. We'd pray for the service Sunday. Revival meeting, we'd band together at church every night before the revival meeting, and we would pray. But you know, we've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from prayer. We've gotten away from supplicating. Supplication. And that's what it's going to take. Brother Turner was a praying man. We'd go on visitation, we'd pray before we went. We'd get to where we were going, we'd pray while we were there.
We'd get back in the car, we'd pray again. He'd bring me home and he'd say, Let's pray again, Brother Jones. He'd talk real slow. We'd pray again. I've never known a praying man as Brother V.A. Turner. But I believe that that's what we need. I believe that's what we need to get back to. Do you find yourself so busy that you don't have time to pray? Do you? I do. And when we're that busy, we're too busy. If we're too busy to pray, we're too busy to agonize with the Lord, and we're too busy that we can't read our Bibles, we're too busy. We're too busy that we can't come to church. Things have interfered with our service for the Lord. We're too busy. We're going to have to cut something out. And I'll leave that up to you, what you're going to cut out. What you're going to stop doing or what you need to start doing. And so we need to take inventory. And right now is a good time, a couple of weeks before our revival meeting, to take inventory and find out where we are spiritually. Where we are as a church. And so we have a lot of dry-eyed prayerlessness. When's the last time that you prayed and really got down to business and really shed some tears over the condition that your life is in right now? When's the last time you got down to business and prayed and agonized with the Lord? Oh, Lord, send us revival. Lord, give us a revival. When's the last time you prayed like that? How much time have we spent in prayer for this meeting? He said, Brother Jones, I'm ashamed to say. How much time? And I'm sure you've prayed, Lord, send us revival. But you know, a lot of times, that's the extent of our praying for our revival. If we're going to have revival, first of all, we're going to have, number one, me. I'm going to have to get my own self in shape and spiritual condition and spiritual shape to have a revival meeting. And that's where it's going to start. It's going to start in the heart of each member of Olmsted Baptist Church if we're going to have revival. We realize that our churches are air-conditioned, but not prayer-conditioned. And that's not original with me. But there's a lot of truth to that. And we wonder why we don't have revival like we used to have. And one of the reasons we're not is because we're too busy to pray. And I believe that the price of revival is still the same. And that's travail. Travail. Have you really asked the Lord to give you what's lacking in your life tonight? I believe that there are three ways for us to pray in regards to this revival. First of all, in the book of Habakkuk. In the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. That's on page 957 in my Schofield Bible. We don't read out of the book of Habakkuk every day. But in Habakkuk, chapter 3, in verse 2. O Lord, I have heard Thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive Thy work. In the midst of years, in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy, in Habakkuk 3 and verse 2. And so that's one way that we can pray for this revival. Is, Lord, revive thy work. Lord, revive thy work. This is the Lord's work. And that's one way that we need to pray for this meeting. Is Lord, revive thy work. In the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, chapter 85. In Psalms 85, we'd like to notice verse 6. 85 and verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Wilt thou not revive us again? So I believe that's another way that we can pray for this meeting. Lord, revive us. Not only revive thy work, but revive us. And then in Psalms 138. Psalms 138. And let us notice verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. And so we have the statement here, revive me. So I believe that's three ways that we can pray for this meeting. Lord, revive thy work. Lord, revive us again. And Lord, revive me. Revive me. I believe I'm going to leave off right there. I'm not even half through, but it's a 7:30. But these are a few of the conditions I believe that we need to meet if we're going to have revival. And may the Lord speak to our hearts concerning this revival. That we start preparing for that revival, even tonight. And maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight concerning this meeting, or concerning your own life and the condition that your life is in spiritually. Maybe you'd just like to come and have prayer. I'll be glad to pray with you. Whatever the Lord has spoken to your heart about. You're here tonight, you're lost, not saved, need to be saved. Maybe the Lord has already saved you. The Lord has spoken to you. We urge you to come.